Hey everyone, welcome to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. I am the host, the only host right now, the Monster. My friend Mr. Gene, unfortunately, is not with me on this podcast. Although, this morning I tried to see about at least getting together to have lunch or breakfast or something in between. Because I saw that he had an opening in his schedule, and then, unfortunately, he had to get into work, which sucked big time. So, here I am. I'm doing the podcast as best as I can by myself, and hopefully you're not going to get bored with me talking. But, just like the last podcast, it's not going to be very long. It's going to be, hopefully, around the exact same kind of 15-minute mark. So, this week, we got a couple of big releases of information. One I'm going to talk about, and similar to how I ended the last podcast, which is a costume change, Wonder Woman is getting a brand new remake on her costume. And unlike the one, I believe it was, if I'm remembering correctly, Jim Lee and J. Michael Straczynski, when he was doing the Wonder Woman run, they had updated her costume, which it was, she was wearing black pants, still wearing the bustier top, but also she was wearing a jacket or a short waist jacket and gloves. And it was okay. It wasn't spectacular, but it was a much more, I guess, radical difference from the regular red, white, and blue costume we've always been familiar with. So for this one, we do get a nice, I guess more like a warrior suit kind of style that I think is really kind of fitting. And in fact, I think it's a little more appropriate because it's not really, what's the right word? It's not very flattering in the sense that you're going to see her ass, you're going to see her tits, you're not going to see anything like that. It's meant to be a fighting costume. And it looks really practical. She has a suit underneath where she's kind of wearing this kind of armor kind of plating. But to me, it is a really good update for this great character that really needed to have something that was more fitting, a little bit more modern, without having to become, you know, this week's, you know, cheesecake pinup girl of the week. It didn't have to be that. So this was more in keeping of, she's a warrior, let's make her look like a warrior. And she definitely has that kind of aura about that in this costume. So I was really happy about that. Now, on the exact same note, Superman is getting another update. So we went from Superman losing his trunks to, I think, the 52, I'm not sure which of the 52s, in which Superman had just jeans, workman boots, a t-shirt with the S symbol, and a kind of little weird short cape. So the update is that he has the exact same jeans, t-shirt look, but without the cape, which is honestly the exact same kind of thing that you would see for Connor, which is the clone of Superman, where he's just wearing the black t-shirt and the S symbol. So to me, this was really kind of a letdown, because if this is all you're going to be doing, not that you need to go back and redo the costume again, but I just think you're running into a situation in which Superman is really no longer interesting. You really can't just keep on changing the coat of paint and thinking, oh, this is brand new. Kind of like how Superman has a new power, which is, I forgot the term about it, some kind of flare, light flare, something that he becomes, you know, Mr. Lightbright, which, okay, so he can make himself really shiny. Great, don't stare at him. And I guess, you know, a good pair of shades kind of cancel his powers, and if that's what's going to take. So I just think Superman definitely needs to either have a good break and maybe reboot it in the future, kind of like what did with Wolverine. Just lay it to rest. I mean, they did it with Doomsday, in which he didn't come back for a whole year. It was phenomenal. That got me back into reading comics because of the Death of Superman storyline. But if this is all they're going to be doing, and they keep rebooting the damn 52 universe over and over again, it loses everything that you're trying to do that's cool. So, but that's what we have to deal with. So we'll go from there. All right, the second big piece of news I came across was there was new confirmed information about the Star Wars movie. And I'm like, well, I kind of know that Star Wars is coming out in December. I misread the Roman numerals because it said Star Wars 8, not 7, because I had the little extra I there. So we are not only going to get the Star Wars 8, which would be in December, I believe. Was it December? It's coming out 2017. That's all I know right now, 2017. But we are going to get a spinoff called Rogue One. So it's called Star Wars Rogue One, in which I guess it's going to be a separate parallel storyline, what's going on in the Star Wars universe. There is artwork. If you're listening to this podcast, there's a picture of the artwork that is kind of interesting. I don't know any of the characters other than it's, you know, stormtroopers firing at something in the distance. But what caught my eye that was kind of cool was on top, there seems to be a Star Destroyer, but a different type of Star Destroyer that almost has the deflector dish of the Death Star. And you can see where the kind of the points are joining together before it starts firing, like the Death Star did to the frigates that it was fighting in. So it seems to have now probably not the whole Death Star firepower, but has a good component of it. So that's kind of a cool weapon. If that's what's going to be done, I'm kind of excited about that. So we'll see about that. So that's coming out in 2016 in December. So we have Star Wars coming out this December, 2015. Star Wars Rogue One, 2016. And then Star Wars number 8 is coming out in 2017. So every year we're getting a Star Wars movie. I'm kind of excited. I'm also kind of worried because unlike Star Trek, when the TV series came out, the movies came out, the going back to the Next Generation, it seems to be a little bit more, I guess, spread out. Star Wars, even though it is spread out, this is kind of going in a brand new territory since everything after Return of the Jedi, the books, since that point, had to take over and expand that universe. But because now the movies are owned by by Disney, we're not going to get that same universe. So this is going to be whatever it is they want to do, that's what's going to be. So pretty much the Zahn books are, I think, pretty much done. I don't think they will ever refer to anyone. I love the Zahn books. I really wish they would maybe put some aspects in there, but whatever. This is what we're going to get. This is what we have to deal with. All right. So my last piece of information is that I finally got to get Justice League Throne of Atlantis, which I was telling my daughter that I was getting this from the library and called it, you know, Game of Thrones. But basically, it's kind of the exact same idea. So this is going to be Arthur Curry, who is supposed to be Aquaman. We get his kind of origin story-ish in the sense that it looked and it kind of felt like this was what they might have done with the TV series after Smallville, in which they were planning to do Aquaman, in which he lived on land. He had this kind of strange drawing to the sea, but because of his amnesia or whatever it was that blocked his past, he would basically have an heir or a throne so that he would later become the king. So in here, we actually see the storyline in which his dad, I guess, saw this mermaid and they had sex and I guess if you want to put a pun on there, they made a little tartar sauce in the sand or whatever. She gets pregnant with this half-breed. She goes off because she's promised to another man, and she can't keep an eye on her kid. So dad's around in the picture to take care of him. So we see Arthur kind of distraught because now his dad just passed away, and he's by himself. And the Justice League itself, I think from the events of Justice League War, which I thought was not one of the best straight-to-DVD series to date, kind of picks up from that point on because Wonder Woman is still in her old costume, which is fine. They did make an improvement. She's not that weird. I don't know. I didn't like that Wonder Woman that I saw in War. Here, she has a better relationship with Superman, and two of them are kind of like, you know, interesting because they're finding, you know, solace in each other. But for the most part, we're seeing all these, you know, grumblings about Justice League not really being there. And of course, over the course of the story later on, they kind of like, well, we need to do this. But really, the weak part of all this, because if they're all being drawn in because of what's happening with Atlantis, Orm, which is Curry's half-brother, had killed their mother, their queen, so he can go ahead and do this attack on the surface dwellers, which in the opening we see a submarine that is attacked, the missiles are taken, and Black Manta is part of that situation and basically commit an attack against Atlantis, but using like a submarine from the surface. So basically this is like 9/11 but on an inside job, because you know 9/11 is not an inside job, right? Okay, so we get that Orm is now in charge. He sets out to war and he creates this huge tidal wave a la The Abyss, the last 20 minutes of The Abyss, just standing out there, and he has his grand army, and I'm like, whoa, why are you coming out of the water if you're just going to fight hand-to-hand? Just use your damn water and just, like, wipe everyone away or drown them, and you don't really have to do a hell of a lot of fighting. So that was kind of already a big strike against them. Two, Black Manta is kind of coaxing Orm to do certain things, but honestly, I have no idea in the context of this story what's his backstory, since he has this gear that allows him to breathe underwater, where everyone else doesn't have that problem. So it's kind of like the elephant in a room that no one's addressing. Well, you put him there for a reason, and it never gets explained. Now, I will say this. I love Batman Brave and the Bold TV series, and if you've ever watched it, it's really campy, and Aquaman is outrageous! And that's what I love. If you're going to make him that campy, make him super campy. Here, he's interesting to look at. It's not a new story, but honestly, there's nothing interesting that he does. Yes, he develops the fact that he can now talk to, you know, sea life, and he can ask them to help out. But honestly, Mira, who I think has the better and cooler power, is that she can form these kind of like water cyclones and spears and knives, and that she can really hurt enemies with it. Like, that's really cool. But honestly, you know, Aquaman doesn't really have much other than this telepathy. So, okay, that's what he does. He gets to talk to fish. And there's been numerous versions of Aquaman in which literally he's like a fish out of water. I think the Quiver book, Arthur is not really kind of, I want to say human, but he's not aware of our human practices. So he's really like a fish out of water. Or we see him in early versions where he has the beard, or he has the water hand, or the hook hand. There's been this really struggle to make Aquaman really cool. And I don't understand why, if the world is populated by water, and we have this vastness that's unknown, it should be as cool as the character to kind of put that together. So either you make him a badass like Namor on Marvel's side, in which he is completely distrustful of all humans and becomes kind of like an anti-hero in the end. I don't get that from this version of Arthur. So it's okay. There was this one moment in which Arthur is fighting Black Manta. And of course, what's Manta doing that you never do as a villain? You monologue. So Arthur was able to call up a big shark and grab Black Manta, and off he went. And what did he say? Outrageous! I laughed my ass off. That was funny. But not that way that I said it. Just he said, outrageous. I'm like, okay, I give you that. But that's it. So overall, it was okay. The other bright spot, Nathan Fillion is the Green Lantern. So yay for that. At least we get him for that. And there wasn't a whole lot about... Maybe there's do like a documentary, or at least on my DVD, there was nothing about the history of Aquaman. I think that would have been even better than watching just the movie and that's it. It really needed to have some kind of extra bonus material, and maybe it is on the Blu-ray. I don't know, because again, I'm borrowing this from the library. So, it's okay. It's enjoyable. I'm not going to say it made me a better Aquaman believer or a fan. I did love looking at the updated Jason Momoa character from when we go in to get the Batman versus Superman story, and he looks really badass. We'll see how this gets played out, because honestly, to me, the logistics is that, okay, if these people are underwater and they have supposedly gills, they're going to have to kind of explain that, or how is it that they're able to be human? Because I would think if they're a water-based culture, that they should be able to do a lot more things with water, and not just that they're humans that were brought down and now live in the water. Next thing you know, he's going to have a freaking pineapple under the sea, and that's where Arthur lives, you know? I don't want to do that. There's so much you can do with this character, and I don't think anyone has actually gotten to that place that makes Aquaman really cool, that that's your favorite character. He's a joke, and I'm glad that, I forget which story, they do bring that up, that he's not well-respected. So, all right, well, on that note, not that that's a timer, but that's a phone call. I really need to get going, because I took off today to do this really podcast real quick before going off to camp, or kind of sleepaway camp with my son for a Cub Scout. So I wanted to get this done before the weekend was over, because again, I want to be consistent and get a podcast done every week. So thank you very much for listening to me for this week. And again, if you have any questions, please email me at themonstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter, MONSTSYFYSHOW. So that's a Monster Sci-Fi Show spelled a Siffy way. Or find me on Facebook. Find my page. The Monster Sci-Fi Show is also there. So I'm everywhere. All you got to do is come and find me. If you listen to this podcast, you're halfway there. So again, if you're interested, let me know. If you want to join me on a podcast in the future, I'm open to that. All right, so hoping that you have a great week, and I'll talk to you again next week. I promise. Good night, folks.